The thought I had on my heart this morning, if you had to give it a title, would be the love of the brethren. The love of the brethren. So there's four verses I want to read and use those kind of a basis for what we go from. The first one is John 3:16. New American Standard, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. John 15:12. The love of the brethren. So we'll look at some of the verses from the Apostle of Love. John 15:12. This is my commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. Ephesians 4. We're to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. The body builds itself up in love. And finally, Revelation 19:7. John again. All familiar verses. For let us rejoice and be glad and give the glory to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Let's just pray a minute. Lord, we thank you for your abundant love, for your chance that you've provided for us to come to the table and to remember you. We thank you for your great salvation. And we just pray that as we fellowship this morning, we would see more of you. In Jesus' name. These verses, if you bear with me, we follow the thread through them. John 3:16 tells us that God so loved us, he gave his only begotten Son. And if we believe in him, we should not perish, but have everlasting life. And we often think about that as being a time in the future, eternal salvation. But it's also eternal life as a quality of life, a life that we are possessors of because of our salvation. We're born again, saints. We have the life of Christ in us, the hope of glory. So this salvation, John 3:16. Then John 15 talks about abiding in Christ and bearing fruit. And the fruit, I believe, the Lord is after greatly involved expressing his love. Because he says, this is my commandment, that ye love one another just as I have loved you. Second step. Third step. Ephesians talks about building up the body in love. We would be fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part. And that proper working causes the body to be built up in love. And the result of the body building itself up is the preparation of a bride who has made herself ready, the Lord returning. So this love of God, this expression of the love of God in the saints, in our fellowship, we can think of it often as a human thing, as a narrow thing, but it's a very big thing, a very important thing. And I thought I might just share some verses with us this morning. I don't like to do that, just read verses, but sometimes these verses say so much. I want to encourage everyone just to reflect on a few of these things. Again, the apostle of love in John 13, 34, and 35. A new commandment I give to you, that ye love one another, even as I have loved you, that ye love one another. And the love in this that's used here, we're going to talk about this more, but Wiest translates the love, constant, divine, self-sacrificial love. It's a deep love. It's a special kind of love, a different kind of love. Maybe we'll talk about it a little bit. John 15, 12, we've already shared that verse. And this is the verse where we're talking about abiding, abide in the vine, bear fruit in the fruit. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Verse 17 says, this I command you, that you love one another. Constant, divine, self-sacrificial love. The apostle of love carries on in the book of 1 John. You know, that epistle was written to correct error. There was a doctrinal error that was really causing the saints to stumble. And so often, we know in our epistles that the apostle presents things from a positive point. Very seldom do the apostles say, this is what's wrong and this is what's wrong. But what does he do? He shows us what's right and shows us the Lord. And we know this is a book of fellowship. It's a book of love. And I just wonder if follows right on the heels of talking about fellowship and the expression of God's love, if that isn't the real antidote to error. If we stay in fellowship, if we're abiding in Christ's love, if we're fellowshipping with one another, it's great defense against the error. And that's when I wonder if that's what he's saying here. John 3, 1 John 3, let's read some verses here. John 3, 9. 1 John 3, 9. No one who is born of God practices sin, because his seed abides in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. So just moving from this error and from the sin, he says, no one who is born of God practices sin because he's born of God. By this, the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. If anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is the one who does not love his brother. For this is the message you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Verse 14. Let's read verse 14. Move on to 3:14. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. He who does not love abides in death. We know the life of Christ by sharing his love. Verse 16. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Little children, verse 18, little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but with deed and truth. And then chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Seems to me like what our elder brother John is sharing here, that the character of God, the life of God, the Spirit of God is expressed through his love, and that love is to be manifest through us, to one another. And it's that expression that builds up the body in love. And I don't think it's as much something we do. I think we think about it, it's something we are. We are new creatures in Christ and have His character. And as if we grow and are dealt with, we find the character of Christ expressed. So what type of love? What type of love? I think most of us realize that there's three words used for love in the Greek. Who knows what they... Anybody want to say what they are? Eros, phileo, and agape. There's a little book that explains some of this. It's Don't Waste Your Sorrows by Paul Bilheimer. And he gives some explanations of these three types of love. But basically his argument in that book is that our progression in the love of God is what prepares us for building up the body, for bringing in His eternal purpose, and for preparing ourselves to reign with Christ. But he calls the three types of love: Eros, the love between man and woman; Philos, the love of friendship; and Agape, the love which characterizes God Himself. All the verses I've read today, and I think most of the verses that we'll find in the New Testament here, use which word for love? Agape, God's love. And this is the love that Bilheimer talks about, is the reason we go through sorrows, the reason we're dealt with, is that so our natural life, our natural love, a natural self-life can be dealt with, and that we can come into God's life and God's way. I think it's pretty clear that we're not talking these verses about Eros, but the other two, I believe, bear consideration, bear thinking about a minute. And let's read, there's used in a passage that I think we're all familiar with, John 21. Let's look at John 21. This is discourse between our Lord Jesus and Peter, 21:15-17. So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my lambs." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Shepherd my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." So this is a little confusing. Just keeps asking if he loves. So the explanation of this passage really comes from understanding the words, the definition of the words used for love. These are two classic Greek words, phileo and agape. And you know, I spent some time trying to read what those were in the classic Greek, and it's very difficult to come up with understanding. I think our understanding of these words to a Christian, very helpful if we read the Bible, if we read how the scholars have translated them. So I was going to do something here. I'd read the Amplified and read Wiest and see how those words are developed in this passage. So first from Amplified. When they had eaten, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these others do?" With reasoning, intentional, spiritual devotion as one loves the Father. So this was agape. Do you agape me? And Peter could say, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you, that I have deep, instinctive, personal affection for you as for a close friend." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." Again he said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" with reasoning, intentional, spiritual devotion, as one loves the Father. He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you, that I have a deep, instinctive, personal affection for you as for a close friend." He said to him, "Shepherd my sheep." So twice the Lord asked Peter if he agaped him, and twice Peter replied, "I phileo you." So he said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me with deep, instinctive, personal affection for me as for a close friend?" Peter was grieved. He took it ill and was hurt that he should ask him a third time, "Do you love me?" He said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. I have deep, instinctive, personal affection for you as for a close friend." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." So the third time, the Lord said, "Do you phileo me?" And he said, "Yes, you know that I do." So let's read Wiest also. "Then, when they had breakfasted, Jesus says to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of Jonas, do you have a love for me called out of your heart of my preciousness to you, a devotional love that impels you to sacrifice yourself for me? Do you consider me more precious and thus love me more than these fish?'" They put fish in parentheses. I don't know if they knew. "But do you love me more than these?" is how it says. He says to him, "Yes, Lord, you know, as for you, you know positively that I have an emotional fondness for you." He says to him, Be feeding my little lambs. He says to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonas, do you have a devotional love for me called out of your heart by my preciousness to you, a love that impels you to sacrifice yourself for me?" He says to him, "Yes, Lord, as for you, you know positively that I have a friendly feeling for you." He says to him, "Be shepherding my sheep." He says to him a third time, "Simon, son of Jonas, do you have a friendly feeling and affection for me?" Peter was grieved that he said that to him a third time. "Do you have a friendly feeling and affection for me?" And he said to him, "Lord, as for you, all things you know positively. You know from experience that I have a friendly feeling and affection for you." So what are these two words here? Phileo, if we combine Amplified and Wiest, it says a deep, instinctive, personal affection for you as a close friend, emotional fondness, friendly feeling, affection for me. And agape, reasoning, intentional, spiritual devotion as one loves the Father. Love called out of your heart by my preciousness to you, a devotional love that impels you to sacrifice yourself for me. A self-sacrificial love. Love as God has it. So I think it's very good for us to spend some time and really consider what these two words mean. We know it's almost impossible just to come up with a definition, but we see where they're used and how the usage is will really help us. But it seems to me that what we have here is a natural affection and feeling as opposed to supernatural, selfless, unconditional love. And of course, this agape love is what we've read in these verses today and what the Lord's after. This agape love is the love of God expressed between the Father and the Son. It's a selfless, sacrificial love expressed to us by our Lord going to the cross. It's a love that we are exhorted to express to one another. It's the character of Christ that when released through us will build up the body of Christ and prepare the bride. You know, this is what the Lord's after, and I think we'll see that us expressing this type of love is naturally, utterly impossible in ourselves. It has to be the love of God working in our hearts. So let's look at this exchange just a little bit that between the Lord and Peter. First thing that the Lord said to Peter is, "Do you love me?" Whatever verse he said, whatever word he used, "Do you love me?" I think when we're thinking about sharing the love of God with one another, we need to start with loving the Lord first. We need the supply of the Lord's life to bring into the situation. If we don't have the love of God, how can we help? If we don't bring in the love of God, what do we bring in? The self-life, natural love, and at best that can be helpful, and at worst, I think it can be really risk defrauding one another. We need to love the Lord first, and it's the love of God we bring into the situation when we share the love of God with one another. So that's the first thing the Lord said, do you love me? And then the second thing we should learn from this passage is denying ourselves. We have to deny ourselves, but we can see what happened here with Peter. Peter was one that was so strong, so impetuous, so self-willed, but in this case, he seems to have come to the end of himself. Read John 13:37. See what see the character of Peter that we see. 13:37. Peter says, "I will lay down my life for you. Will you lay down your life for me? A cock shall not crow until you deny me three times." So here's Peter. He'll lay down his life for the Lord. And then we go on to John 18:25-27. Now Simon Peter was standing and warming himself. They said therefore to him, Peter denied it again, and I got to read that.
Do you have it all up there?
I can't read it here. I'll read the whole thing. John 18. Now Simon Peter, 18:25. Now Simon Peter was standing and warming himself. They said therefore to him, you are not also one of his disciples, are you? He denied it and said, I am not. One of the slaves of the high priest, being a relative of the one whose ear Peter cut off, said, did I not see you in the garden with him? Peter therefore denied it again, and immediately a cock crowed. So Peter had been dealt with. He thought he had this natural strength that he could really do the Lord's bidding and do the Lord's will. But he came to the end of himself. And he was asked in this exchange three times, do you agape me? Do you agape me? And the third time the Lord said to him, do you phileo me? He said, you know, Lord. You know, Lord, I can't do it. It's not in me. But the Lord took him where he was. He took him with that response. He said, Peter, do you phileo me? And he said, yes, Lord, you know I do. And based on Peter's confession, his weakness, the Lord took him and moved him on. And I believe the Lord would do the same for us. We confess it's not in us. At best, we love him with our natural strength. But he took Peter. He honored Peter, and Peter was the one that was so powerful in his work and testimony in the early church. I think it's good for all of us to know that we're unable to love in a self-sacrificial way. And we need to deny ourselves and ask the Lord to work out, and trust him to work out that agape love in us. Another thing, so we love the Lord first, deny ourselves. Then he says, tend my sheep. And I think what I want to say here is my sheep. It's the Lord's sheep. When we're ministering, when we're loving one another, it's for the Lord. It's for his people. And we can often be used to meet needs. Meeting needs are good, but that's not the end of our love. The end of our love is bringing one another to the Lord, bringing one another to Christ, tend his sheep. We need to... No pat answers, you know, no fixed solutions to our issues and our problems. We're to love one another and to bring one another to the point where each of us can say, my grace is sufficient for you. So I think we really get in trouble if we bring the natural love and the natural solutions, but we want to draw one another to the Lord and avoid defrauding one another. So what's the argument we've been saying here? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that we not perish but have eternal life. And that eternal life is a quality, a type of life we have today. The Christ life in us, Christ in us. And that life is meant to find expression today in the body of Christ, in the assembly. And we are to be expressing this agape love, not natural love, but agape love. And that's that love, agape love, that builds up the body of Christ. We need to deny ourselves. Remember what Peter went through. He came to the end of himself and realized it's not in us. And no, it's the love of God in us to be expressed. And by expressing that love, the body builds itself up in love, and the bride makes herself ready. Two little passages I wanted to look at, two little thoughts I want to look at related to the principles of sharing the love. First one is really where I started this thought was 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5, 14 to 17. For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all, that they who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no man according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh. Yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. Verse 16, recognize no man according to the flesh. Recognize no man according to the flesh. And I just, it just struck me how important this is that we know one another not after the flesh. You know, we've all been drawn together. We come. Why are we meeting together? Why do we assemble together? Why do we have this relationship here? Because I believe it starts on that common life. We love the Lord. We love to share the Lord with one another, have fellowship with one another. But something happens pretty soon after we come together. We begin to understand one another. We're all personally very different personalities, naturally. We're very, we just get on each other's nerves pretty quick. You know? But what's Paul tell us here? Know one another not after the flesh. And I think it's very important not to be put off by our natural life, but to know one another after the Spirit, to know and appreciate the Christ in one another. We need to look for the Christ in one another. We need to build on the Christ in one another. If we spend time complaining about one another and being put off by one another, we've got a couple of reactions, but the biggest will just be driven apart. I think one of the things that concerns me sometimes is what we'll do is, because fellowship is painful, fellowship requires denying our own self-life. It really does require. And if we're not willing to do that, we're going to withdraw, and we're going to isolate ourselves. We can easily find ourselves building up a little shield around us, drawing into our own little world. And that's not what the Lord wants. But it's costly. Fellowship is costly. The assembly, the body of Christ, is a wonderful, great place to deny yourself. Take up the cross and follow the Lord. So I just want to encourage us all to know one another after the Spirit. Christ in us. We need to really know each other, know the Christ in one another, and not according to the flesh. Another little thought I had, and this, we often have this. How many people have been asked this little question? Have you seen the body of Christ? Have you seen the body of Christ? That's a good question. That's a wonderful question. And it's very important for us to have seen something of what the Lord's after. But I want to expand that question a little bit. Have you seen the body of Christ today? Are you seeing the body of Christ daily? And how do we see the body of Christ? We see Christ in one another. We see joints of supply. We're building up one another in the love of God. So this thing, there's a big thing of vision, which is a very important vision, has a practical outworking daily. So have we seen the body of Christ today? Are we loving the brethren today? And seeing the reality of the body of Christ, the body building itself up in love. So let's talk just for a little bit about a couple applications. How do we apply, how do we enter into this expressing the love of God, agape love? Well, the first thing we learned is we deny ourselves. Peter came to the place of denying himself. We deny our self-life and realize it's not in us. We love the Lord first. Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? And then the next thing I thought was, we love our spouses. You know, talk about a practical way, place for the outworking of God's love and the Spirit of God is in our marriages. What place is there to be? There's no place that we're more close to another human being or where there's more chance for conflict, misunderstanding, and so forth. But what a place for us to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and love our spouses. Our marriages are very, very, very important to the Lord. And they're very, very, very much under attack and assault. So we need to cherish our wives, our husbands. We need to cherish our marriages and stand for them, protect them and defend them. Very important. Next thing we can think about is loving our children, even our teenagers. Grandchildren are easier. Jerry may think he has the nicest grandchildren, but we really do. Well, it's true, right? Danette, ha ha ha. We need to love our children. I think our children are God's gift. They're God's trust. And it's very difficult sometimes to love our children. We get very frustrated. We can get frustrated and upset, or we can take them as possessions. We're going to make them be what we weren't. We're going to have this vicarious enjoyment. We're going to be, through our children, boy, they're going to be great soccer players, or they're going to be doctors or lawyers. Lay off the children and take them to the Lord. Let them find their own way. Don't make them your possessions. They're God's possessions. So love our children as God loves them. So we deny ourselves, we love the Lord, we love our spouses, we love our children, and then we love one another. You know, we're to love one another. And I can't sit up here and tell you who to love, who to have a relationship with. The Lord will show you. But I can tell you one thing, the body builds itself up in love. And if we read that Ephesians 4 passage, joints held together by the joints and ligaments. And are you a joint of supply? I think that's a question we can ask. Are you a joint of supply? Are we each a joint of supply? Well, let me just sum it up again. Let's put John 3:16 back on the board. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And we remember this morning that we are recipients of receiving the Son of his love. That whoever believes in him shall not perish, not go to hell, but we also will be having be having. That was John's concern at the end of that Gospel of John, that you be having eternal life. So we have this eternal life, the life of Christ, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Since we're receivers of that redeeming love, eternal life, we are to be, it's the Lord's desire, an idea that we be sharers of that eternal life daily, today, that we be building up the body in love, and that the bride be preparing herself for his return. And I just have to ask again that question as we leave. It's kind of like Lance asked at conference. He said, what are you doing about it? And what we can do about it is find time for the saints. We can be together when we have opportunities. We can look for times to encourage one another, to lead one another to the Lord, to share the love of God with one another and build up the body of Christ. You know, these are days when everything else gets in the way. Everything else gets in the way. Unbelievably demanding days. But we've been given each other, and we're to nourish that relationship in Christ we have. And ask the Lord, how are we building up the body of Christ? How are we, each of us, a joint of supply? What are we going to do about it? So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for living faith. We thank you for your desire for an expression of your very self in your body. Lord, we pray that you would have your way, that we would be not just possessors of eternal life, but expressors of that life. Lord, that the love of God, not the love of man, but the unlimited, selfless love of God would be shed abroad in our hearts, that we would be built up, and that you could have a bride prepared for your return. In Jesus' name.